to each one of you in Jesus' precious name this morning. You can turn your Bibles to Numbers 15, verse 37. That's where I'm going to start out this morning. While you're turning there, I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you can remember in the last week something great that God has done for you, some way that God has moved in your life? While you think about that for a little, so I'm going to go back a little further and say, how many can remember in the last year where God really moved, where you said, man, God answered a prayer, God really did something, and have you forgotten it, or do you still remember it? You can turn in your Bibles to Numbers 15, verse 37. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, that they put upon the fringe of the borders a rib of blue. And it shall be unto you a fringe, that you may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, to do them, to seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments, and be holy unto your God. A number of weeks ago, I was driving, listening to Scripture as I was driving, and I heard this verse, and it kind of just struck something with me. And so I started looking into it, thinking about it a little more, and started looking into what was the events happening here. And the title of my message this morning will be Tassels of Blue. And as I looked into it, I said, well, what brought about this commandment or this where God told them to put this blue on their clothes to help them remember? I said, what brought this about? And so I started looking back into it. And if you look in verse 38, I believe it was verse 30, no, it was actually verse 39, and it says, seek not after your own heart. If you look in your concordance in your Hebrew, that seek after is used a number of different ways in the Bible. And it actually goes back to, if you turn back just a couple pages to Numbers 13, verse 17, and I'm going to read a good portion of that story because this takes us back to what brought about what was happening here. And they use that same word there, seeking not after our own, but they also use that same in Numbers 13, starting at verse 17. And this is where Moses sent them into the land of Canaan. Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way, southward, and go up into the mountain. I'm stopping here just a second. Where it says spy out, that seek out that we just read about in verse 39, and this here is actually the same meaning. And so it was interesting how that it used, because this is a story of where we're coming from and why God put into action, or why God gave them this commandment. So I'm going to start at, I'm going to read on here at verse 18, and I'm going to read up into chapter 14 so we get the picture of the story here. It says, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, or whether few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring forth the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin to Rehob, as they came to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahimam and Shishiah and Talmah the children of Anak were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with a cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought the pomegranates and of the figs. And the place was called Brook Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from the searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation, the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell on the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eat of the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, let us return unto Egypt. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were with them, that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it, it is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before the children of Israel. The Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere that they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with pestilence, and disinherit, and will make thee a greater nation and mightier than they. Moses said unto the Lord, Then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou hast brought up his people in might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou art Lord among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them. And thou goest before them by the day in a pillar of cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if thou shalt kill all these people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, Because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. Now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, The Lord is longsuffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. The Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in the Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear to their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit within him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto we went, and his seed shall possess it. I'm going to stop there. So as we look, they went up and they looked at the land, and then they became discouraged, and they forgot what God had done for them. In verse 22, it says, because of these 10 times, which you have not hearkened to my voice. And there's some debate, as I was reading about it, some debate whether it was 10 times or whether sometimes, you know, how as a parent you say, well, I've told you 20 times and you should have it by now. Whether there was more times than that, there's a possibility. But I just want to look down through, as I looked at what they were going through, and here they were. They went up in to check this land out, and then they became discouraged again. And as God told Moses, as they have tested me these 10 times, I want to go down through and quickly look at the 10 times that it would be speaking. And the first one of those is in Exodus 14, verse 10 to 13. And I may just read a little portion. I'm not going to read it. I can read all morning here on the, but I may read little parts of it. But in, the first one is Exodus 14, verse 10 to 13, where they were right across the Red Sea. This is right after they had come out of Egypt. And it says, "And Pharaoh drew nigh, and the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were afraid. And the children cried out to the Lord, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? They once again, right after God had taken them out of Egypt and showed his great power to the Egyptians, and here they were. They were already questioning. They had seemed to have forgotten what God and how God had moved. The second one is the bitter water in Exodus 15, verse 22. It says, "And when it came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, What shall we drink?" And then again, the third one is in the desert of Sin. They were hungry. In Exodus 16, verse 2 to 3, "And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would that God, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in Egypt, where we sat by the flesh pots and were to eat bread and were full, and you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." The fourth time was in the desert of Sin. They paid no attention to Moses about storing the manna in Exodus 16, verse 19 to 20. "And Moses said, Let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until morning, and it stank, and Moses was wroth with them." And the fifth time was in the desert of Sin, disregarding Moses on gathering manna on the seventh day in Exodus 16, verse 27. Says, "And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. The Lord said unto Moses, How long refuse you to keep my commandments and my laws? See that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." And then again, the sixth time was when they complained for water in Rephidim. "And all the congregation, the children of Israel, journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses, and said, Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And then number seven was in Mount Sinai with the golden calf. In Exodus 32, verse 1. It says, "The Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make thee a great nation." And then Moses interceded for them, and the Lord repented of the evil which he had thought to do unto the people. Then the eighth one was in Taberah, where the people raged against the Lord, in Numbers 11, verse 1 to 5. "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses. When Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them." And then the ninth was in Kibroth Hattaavah, where they grumbled, and that was Numbers 11, verse 32. "And the people stood up all that day," this is where the quail was given. The last one, the number eighth one, is where they were actually given the quail, and then number nine was in the same place where God brought them quail. And it says, "And the people stood up all that day, and all that night, and all the next day, and they gathered quail. He that gathered least gathered 10 omers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people. And the Lord smote the people with a great plague. And he called the name of the place Kibroth Hattaavah, because they buried the people that lusted. And then number 10 was the one that we read about here, where Joshua and Caleb and the spies went up to look at the land, and then they came back and the people wouldn't listen about, and they again murmured against God. God moved again and again. God provided every need. If they looked, He provided their clothes, their shoes, their food, their water. Their needs were all supplied. God fought their battles. The Egyptians, when they came after them, God fought their battle for them. God supplied their needs and did just as He promised. And yet they didn't trust Him. They complained over and over. From what I could find, so I asked the question, how long was it from the time that they left Egypt until they came to this point? And from the best that I could find, it was possibly around a year from that point until here. And I said, well, that's only a year. That's a lot happened in a year's time. And a lot of forgetting that happened in a year's time. And then I started thinking, how often does something happen? And we're pretty amazed by how God answered a prayer, how God took care of something in our lives, and yet how quick we forget about it. While we may live in a little different, it may be a little different in the time that we live in. I've been reading a book called Mission Drift. And it was interesting, the author of the book wrote, he was a staff member of Hope International, and he wrote this: I sat across from a senior executive of a global and gas corporation. He led the charitable giving, and the executor said he had caught our vision. There was just one remaining issue. We are a publicly traded company and cannot fund organizations that are so overtly faith-based. If we would tone down our mission, we could help thousands, possibly hundreds of thousands, break the poverty cycle. And while they would have toned it down, they would have lost the vision of Christ being the center. They would have helped a lot of good people, and yet they would have lost the picture of Christ, or Christ being the main focus. We have our human nature and pressures of the world on every side. We must be careful, or we, like the children of Israel, will lose focus. It was interesting, in Numbers 15, how they went to spy out the land, and they used that same word. And now they were, he said, to not, because they were seeking out, as they went and spied the land, they were looking for themselves on how it would benefit themselves, and they lost the focus of Christ and God and what He has done and what God can do for them. Now, if we go back to back to Numbers 15, there was another word in there that also, as I looked at that passage, the word remember. If you look up this word in the Hebrew and look at the different ways that it is used in the Bible, it is used in a number of different forms. It says to remember, be mindful, mention, call, think, and recount. All those are different words that are used, all with the same meaning of that word remember. Many of these verses that are used, if you look where all they're used in the Bible, many of these verses are God's promises towards His people. In Psalm 98:3, He says, He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. In Psalm 105:8, it says, He hath remembered His covenant forever, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generations. Isaiah 43, verse 25, I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Psalm 103:14, for He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. He not only remembers His promises, He also remembers who we are. there are many more verses. I think it was 230 some verses that it used this word in the Bible. There are many more verses reminding us of God's promise and how God fulfills His promise to us. And then there's also a lot of them on how verses calling us to remember. Psalm 105:5 says, "Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth." Psalm 71:16 says, "I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention of Thy righteousness, even of Thine only." And in that day ye shall say, Isaiah 12:4, "And in that day ye shall say, Praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His doings among the people, make mention that His name is exalted." Isaiah 63:7 says, "I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord bestowed on us, and the great goodness towards the house of Israel, which He hath bestowed on them according to His mercies, and according to the multitude of His loving kindness." If you look at the opposite of remember, the word would be forget. And again, if you look that up in the Greek, I think that's about 100 times, 95 times, I believe it was, that one was listed. Deuteronomy 4:9, it says, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligent, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." God gave the children of Israel many promises, and He fulfilled those promises. And He called them to remember Him and not forget His commands. The children of Israel are chosen people. They were to show the nations around them. They were called to show God to the nations around them and to the world. We as Christians as well are called by God to show God to those people that we come in contact with, to the world around us. How quick will you forget? How quick will I forget? What will you do to make so you remember? How will you remember from day to day? I thought of the verse, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee." But as we go from day to day, how do you remember? What brings Christ and what God has done for you to your mind as you go through the day? I'm going to end a little different. I have a story I'm going to end with this morning. And I need some help, so I'm going to ask some children if you'll come, to have some volunteers that will come and help me for just a little bit. How many children can I get to come help me? All right, Declan? Lakeland, you want to come help? And Austin, Jameson, yeah, you can come. Jameson, is it Mason or Braden? Great. Okay. All right. All of you that want to help, you can come. Okay. We're with you. And I want everybody to get one. Okay. And when you're done, I want you to get one too. Okay. So fast enough. I want one of you fast out. Everybody. If you run out of them, let me know and I'll get you a few more. I have here a $2 bill, and I don't know, y'all look at a $2 bill and you say, "It's a $2 bill." Now, if I held it up and Dale was sitting here, to Dale and I, that $2 bill means totally something different. When we were in Indiana, that $2 bill was handed out. And then when it was handed out, it was given a meaning in our class. And every time I see a $2 bill, I think of the book of Psalms because of what he said. I'm going to read a story this morning about the penny, and hopefully it did for me when I read this story. I think I actually shared this story at some one other time, and I'm not sure if it was here. I'm not sure where I shared this at, but when you see this penny, hopefully from now on, it brings something else to your mind. Several years ago, Arlene and her husband were invited to spend the week at his employer's home. Arlene was nervous about the weekend. The boss was very wealthy, with a fine home on the waterway and the cars costing more than her house. The first day and evening went well, and Arlene was delighted to have this rare glimpse into how the very wealthy live. The husband's employer was quite generous as a host and took them to the finest restaurants. Arlene knew she would never have the opportunity to indulge in this kind of extravagance again, so she was enjoying herself immensely. As the three of them were about to enter an exclusive restaurant that evening, the boss was walking slightly ahead of Arlene and her husband. He stopped suddenly, looking down at the pavement for a long, silent moment. Arlene wondered if she was supposed to pass him. There was nothing on the ground except a single darkened penny that someone had dropped and a few cigarette butts. Still silent, the man reached down, picked up the penny. He held it up and smiled. Then he put it in his pocket as if he had found a great treasure. How absurd. What need did this man have for a single penny? Why would he even take the time to stop and pick it up? Throughout dinner, the entire scene nagged her. Finally, she could stand it no longer. She casually mentioned that her daughter once had a coin collection and asked if the penny he had found had been of some value. A smile swept across the man's face as he reached into his pocket for the penny and held it out for her to see. She had seen many pennies before. What is the point of this? "Look at it," he said. "Read what it says." She read the words, "United States of America." "No, no, not that. Read further." "1 cent." "No, keep reading some more." "In God we trust." "Yes." "And?" "And," he replied, "in God, and if I trust in God, the name of God is holy, even on a coin. Whenever I find a coin, I see the inscription. It is written on every single United States coin, but we never seem to notice it. God drops a message right in front of me telling me to trust him. Who am I to pass it by? When I see a coin, I pray. I stop to see if my trust is in God, and at that moment, I pick up the coin as a response to God that I do trust in him, for a short time at least. For a short time at least, I cherish it as if it were gold. I think it is God's way of starting a conversation with me. Lucky for me, God is patient and pennies are plentiful. When I was out shopping today, I found a penny on the sidewalk. I stopped and picked it up and realized that I had been worrying and fretting in my mind about things that I cannot change. I read the words, "In God we trust," and had to smile. "Yes, God, I get the message." One of you sitting here this morning has a penny that you picked up. And it was the one that I picked up on Friday. As I came in this morning, I dropped it in the back, and I don't know who picked it up. But I laid it on the floor. I was curious to see if it was going to get picked up. And when I came in, I saw someone had picked it up. But I started after I read that story, I started the same. It's interesting as you walk along, how many times that you will see a penny or a coin laying on the ground, and how many reminders we have right in front of us as we go through life, just to remember God's promises. God has always fulfilled his promises, and we're called to remember him. It's just one way of what for Blue Tassel do you have? What do you have to remind you of God and his goodness and his promises that he has given to us? All right, Brian, do you have a... Hymn 239. And y'all can stand. All right, let's pray. Father, this morning we thank you for your love to us. And God, we're human, and so often we forget, just like the children of Israel. And God, your promises, you have been faithful. Your promises are true. Father, we pray that you would help us to remember. And God, we thank you for how you watch over us and how you forgive, how you forgave the children of Israel and how you forgive us today. And God, our desire is to live for you and to share your love and be a light to the ones that we come in contact with, the world around us. Father, I pray that you would just be with us this week as we go through the week, as we go out and as we come in contact with people, that we could just be a light for you. Again, thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.